The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Now, as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Last week, a fellow Harvard chaplain leaned over to me during a boring part of a meeting to whisper that our church, University Lutheran, is a regular spot on the campus tours that he gives to new students. And why? Not only because we are next door to Pinocchio's Pizza, but also because of the stone that sits at the corner of Winthrop and Dunster, which says, "God is in the midst of the city." My chaplain colleague told me that students love to take selfies there. "What a great witness this is," he said. "What a great witness your congregation is," he said. "God is in the midst of the city. We are in the midst of the city. Amen."
Amen.
On this morning, the beginning of Holy Week, we remember Jesus' entrance into the city. And we gathered at that very stone this morning to carry palms and to reenact those shouts of the people as Jesus entered Jerusalem. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Amen. Indeed, God is in the midst of the city, and so are we. Our church is in the midst of the city, and this is not always an easy thing. When I was a seminary student, I remember talking with the pastor of a really huge suburban church, maybe the equivalent of a Lutheran megachurch, if there is such a thing. And I was asking him how he did it. How was it that he could have 75 confirmation students every year and baptize babies almost every Sunday? And how was it that he needed more staff every year to serve the people in the already packed pews? I wanted to know the secret. And this pastor looked me straight in the eye and said, "Carrie, this isn't magic. This is demographics. We are in a growing suburb. I could stand in the pulpit on Sunday and fart in a bucket, and people would still come to church with their babies and their children." Dear ones, we are not a fart in a bucket church. Folks are not flocking to Winthrop Street to raise their children today for many reasons, but the main one being that it is far too expensive to live where we live. It is expensive. For this reason, we need to do much more than fart in a bucket, to fill the pews, to serve our neighbors, and to fix the roof. Amen? And still, God is in the midst of the city, and so are we. We are here. Here we stand, and we can do no other. Amen? And so today we remember on this Palm Sunday that Jesus, who may have chosen other options, chose to walk into the city. Jesus, who had already been telling the disciples again and again what was going to happen when he went into the city, that he would be arrested and crucified, and that on the third day he would rise again, still Jesus chose to walk with his friends into the city of Jerusalem. It seems to me that as we enter this Holy Week, it is good and right for us to remember that our faith is an urban story. It is an urban story. One of my seminary professors, Mark Bangert, often spoke about how the Jesus movement was not primarily a story located in the desert or in the woods or in the prairies, although Paul Santmyer might disagree with me about this, but rather, Jesus called us into the cities. Sometimes when we think of church, we might wax nostalgic and imagine a lovely white chapel in the cornfields somewhere. And those churches do exist. In fact, my first call was in rural Illinois, and it looked almost exactly like a Thomas Kincaid painting. But when we consider Scripture and the account of Jesus' life and ministry, we notice how again and again Jesus calls the disciples into cities. And furthermore, Jesus calls us into places where not everyone speaks our language, where not everyone shares our culture or our religion. Jesus was hanging out with sinners and strangers and outsiders in towns and villages and cities that were not familiar to him and his friends. And he invited us to join him there. And so I'm thinking today that we remember that on this day, Jesus did not choose to go on retreat, but rather chose to walk into the city, into the streets, into the messiness that is urban life. Thanks be to God. Amen? Amen. And you know what? Even that little country church that I served for my first call in rural Illinois had its own story. It had its own traveling story, and it was not so neat. At one time, the church building stood in the middle of a field about a mile outside of town. And in good Lutheran fashion, they had a division. They argued with each other. Some folks wanted to join the Masons, and some thought that the Masonic organization was against God. And so, the good Lutherans of the area built a second church exactly next to the first church. A separate building, so that the non-Masonic friendly folk could go to a different place that the Masonic friendly folk did, and they would literally, families would drive up and then go into different churches. Maybe they had the potluck together. I don't know. Oh, my people, oh, my church, what more could I have done for you? Amen. But soon enough, it was decided that this whole thing was silly and that maybe we should do something different. And so it was agreed that that original church building would be moved into the city, into town. That original church building was raised up on logs and attached to a team of horses and was moved 1 mile into the center of the 900-person metropolis of Capron, Illinois, where it still stands today. The people of Capron Lutheran Church walked with Jesus into the city. As we begin Holy Week here at University Lutheran in the city of Cambridge, I am struck by the faithfulness of those of you in the pews. And it's true, we are not a fart in a bucket type of church. My wife told me I shouldn't say that word more than 3 times. I did. But we are here, and we are in the midst of the city. Here we stand, here we are. As my chaplain colleague reminded me, what a witness we are. This is most certainly true. And now back to Jerusalem. This year, because of war, the traditional Palm Sunday procession from the Mount of Olives into the city of Jerusalem has been canceled. And just this morning, I received news from my colleagues that the three heads of the churches in Jerusalem were denied access to the church where the tomb of Jesus is located. They were not allowed, for the first time in centuries, not allowed to have mass there. And this makes me so sad, because that walk from the church of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives into the city with thousands of Christians from around the world always filled my heart with hope. That walk into the city always filled me with hope and provided me focus, because we weren't walking into a desert and we weren't walking to an escape from the world. We were walking in the heat of a day. We were walking down a steep mountain. We were walking and singing together in many languages. We walked surrounded and often threatened by soldiers. With Jesus, we were walking into the center of things, into the heart of human existence. We were, with Jesus, walking to the cross. And so now, as we enter this holiest week of our faith lives together, as we walk into the next stages of a building renovation, as we walk through whatever comes next in this war-torn world, my heart rests and rises in the knowledge that God is in the midst of this city. Thanks be to God, we are not alone. Jesus walks with us. Amen. Now, you have heard me preach for a couple of years now, so you may have noticed that I really, really care about the incarnation. My personal theology is deeply rooted in the knowledge that God loves us so much that she didn't just make us and leave us out there alone, but rather came to walk with us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And it might be a strange thing to say as we enter Holy Week, but I want to tell you that I would be a Christian even if I only knew the Christmas story and had never heard about the resurrection. The incarnation, God with us, is so very important to me because I need to know that I'm not alone in this world. I need to know that I'm not walking the streets of the city by myself. What does the Lord require of me? To do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with my God. And I know very well at age 53 that I cannot do that alone. So on this Palm Sunday, I'm thinking of today as a mini Christmas. As we prepare again to hear the news, to hear the story that Christ has died and Christ is risen and Christ will come again, we also can remember today how God, in her goodness, through Jesus, our brother and Savior, is with us. God is in the midst of the city. God is in Cambridge. God is in Harvard Square. God is at 66th Winthrop Street, and Jesus is walking with us. From the cradle to the grave, from the cross to the empty tomb, through times of war and times of peace. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, and let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.